Okay, so Doreen, feel free to share for 15 minutes or longer if you're on the roll. And the topic TBA, I guess, will be filled in very shortly. So
Okay.
you.
Thank you so much. I'm Doreen. I'm an alcoholic and have a lot of alcoholic style things that I struggle with. Thanks for the invitation. I'm going to do a quick set aside prayer. Creator, please set aside everything I think I know so that I may have an open mind and a new experience. Please help me see the truth about my approval seeking, about this work, and about what you direct in my life, what you would like for me to communicate, and what my relationship with you looks like. Amen. I didn't know if I was supposed to pick a topic or not, so I opened the book this morning to We Agnostics. And just for a little background, what has brought me to this day, this point in my recovery, is I was freed from the desire to drink alcohol in 1990. Class of 1990, which is just a long time ago. And I remember sitting in an AA meeting in San Diego, a block away from the beach. The meeting was Dawn Patrol that met at 7 a.m. It was a very large meeting. And looking at a couple that were getting their 30-year anniversary chips, we called them birthdays there. And so there was a cake and people were singing and everything. And I remember looking at them and thinking, oh my God, if I am ever that old, just kill me. I don't ever want to be that old. I don't ever want to have 30 years sober. I don't ever want any of that. Whatever is going on over there, I don't want it. And I was 21 at the time. So I thought I knew everything. And I thought, I mean, you know what it's like. I don't know what I thought. That person then is so different than how I am today. And that group was instrumental in helping me feel like I had never felt before, which was part of something bigger than me. I came there from not a very long career in drinking and chaos and dysfunctional family upbringing. I only really drank from the time I was 14 until I was 21. But that was enough to drag me down to the place where I thought the only answer was to kill myself. And they did things like, when my car stopped working, they secretly, unknown to me, created a schedule for who was going to drive me to work that day. But they would make me go to the meeting and ask for help. And then one of them would volunteer to drive me to work, which was an hour away. And so it was that kind of group, which I'm immensely grateful for. But just doing that work in traditional AA wasn't enough for me. I wound up going to one of Tyla's workshops after another bottom, emotional bottom, at 8 years sober, 8 or 9 years sober. Because again, I was fantasizing about suicide. And I don't know what it was about her. I was thinking about this the other day. There was something about the way the Big Book became alive when she talked about it that I had never heard before. She was reading the same words I had read. I had been through the steps. I was being of service. I was a GSR and a DCM and blah, blah, blah. And I was doing all these things. And it was great. The people there were amazing. And it taught me a lot about how to behave like an adult in adult settings. But I wasn't, I was getting a divorce. I was getting laid off from a job. There was like all this turmoil and chaos happening in my life. And I thought the problem was something. And a friend of mine was like, maybe I went to a therapist and she was like, I have no idea what's wrong with you. And we got into this big fight about it. And then I, walked out of there in a self-righteous cloud. And so I go to Tyler. I remember thinking, whatever she wants me to do, I'm gonna do it. I don't know why. I've never felt this way before about the program. And I did. And my third year in BBA, or my third round through the steps, we got to agnostics. And the part about where it asks us, do I believe, this is on page 46, the last paragraph. Do I believe that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him? Do I believe the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek? And then I added, am I earnestly seeking? And I was doing a six-step consideration at this point. Do I believe this relationship, this realm of the spirit is open to all? And I had kind of a mini breakdown at that point because I didn't believe that. I was still trying to earn God's approval. I was still trying to make myself good enough to belong. I was still trying to, I think, recreate a God in an image I had conceived rather than allow God to reveal itself through the work I was doing, through effort at a relationship with this God. And so my experience was a little bit blunted by the way I was thinking about this. I kept going. I kept doing BBA. I was leading workshops. I was doing all the things. Life went up and down, and we moved to Atlanta. We moved to New York City. And I was in this job in New York City, and I had a sponsor. We talked every week, and I remember telling her, I fucking hate it here. I hate this place. I hate this job. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't belong here. Just all the stuff that maybe some of you have about, I don't belong. They're going to find out. I'm not good enough. Why did I do this? Why am I here? Every day was a battle with myself. And of course, you can't just have a battle with yourself. You wind up battling with everybody else out there. It was really, really hard, this constant insecurity. And she finally said, why don't you just quit? And then, of course, being the contrarian that I am, like, I can't just quit. Like, they moved me up here and I'll have to pay them back and blah, blah, blah. She's like, well, then shut up about it. Just either quit or stay, but make a decision and just keep asking God for help. And again, so again, I'm here with this point at which I have to rely on God because there's literally nothing else to rely on. And I did the best I could, but it didn't feel like it was enough. And I didn't know what else to do. I was already meditating every day. I was doing the steps. I was taking people through the work. I'd started another workshop in New York City because that's what I knew to do when you were feeling disconnected. That feeling subsided for a while until I decided I was going to supplement my income with a side hustle of selling things on eBay, which was really just a cover story for buying a lot of shit that I didn't need. So I started going to estate sales. I started going to garage sales. I started going to thrift stores. And pretty soon this room that we had in our small apartment in New York City with a $1 million view became like a hoarder closet. And my husband would come home every day and he would look around and he was like, I think there's too much stuff here. I think there are too many things here. He was very so supportive. And yet at the same time, like I could almost feel the tension when he'd walk in the door, like, ugh, this you're confronted with piles of things. And I couldn't stop. I could not do that. So I call Terry and I tell her, I don't know how to stop doing this. Please help me. We went through the steps with a focus on cluttering. Through that, we got to step five, and I was telling her about this intense fear I have of being humiliated. And I don't know why it came up. I don't know where it came from, but that's what came out in that round of the steps. And we talked about it for a while, and it just wouldn't go away. She referred me to Michael McKinsey's workshop, which was starting up a few months after we had been through the steps. And it was, I feel like it was there. So this is now 30 years from a drink, the first time I was ever introduced to AA. I felt like there I finally found the thing I had been doing my whole life was abandoning myself over and over again and perpetuating this pattern of abuse that had happened since I was a kid. So I'm in a four step right now, an ACA, which is a thing. And the reason I chose We Agnostics is because part of what I've learned is that the idea of God that I came to AA with was messed up because when you're young, your idea of God is usually based on your primary caregivers. And that's where you kind of learn about powers greater than yourself. Even if later on people tell you that you can choose whatever kind of God feels better than that, I didn't know I had this mistrust, this dishonesty, this fear about this power still. After all this work, after all these steps, after everything. So I read a self-remorse inventory to Michael, and we kind of got to this place where it's like, I have spent my whole life trying to keep myself safe, and it doesn't work. I can't do that. I can't do that on my own. I have to have something else to rely on. I have to have a relationship with this power that is going to keep me safe because if not, I can keep doing the steps over and over again until I die. And I'm just not going to get that freedom that so many other people seem to have in the program. And so that kind of brings me to where I am today, where I'm starting to get a deeper recognition of what it is that I keep bumping up against. I can't remember the guy's name, but he wrote this book where he talks about in all the pain I try to avoid, I create this bubble around myself. And then my whole life looks like what it would look like if I had to accommodate for living in this big bubble. So my doors are wider. My whole life is set up to accommodate for this bubble that I've put around myself. And then I come to you and I'm like, look at how well I'm doing. Look at how well I'm doing with this big bubble around me. And everyone's like, wow, good for you. Good for you for living, for adjusting your life to look somewhat normal in this big bubble. And when really, it's like you don't actually need that. You can live fine without it, but you're going to have to go through a lot of pain to get there. So that's where I am. So there's a sentence here. Besides, this is on page 47. When therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. That is a completely different meaning to me today than it did back then. This applies too to other spiritual expressions that you will find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. So this has taken on a whole new meaning. And in BBA, you're asked to go through and find any term, capitalized or not, any term and define it. What does it mean to you? How does the definition of God differ from the definition of Father, differ from the definition of Spirit? And how are all those things different? And how, where can I identify the prejudice I have against these terms? And what's stopping me from accepting this power as everything? Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there was power greater than me? I always knew there was a power greater than me. I just didn't know whether it was a power for good or not. And then on the very bottom of this page, that was great news to us, for we assumed that we could not make use of spiritual principles unless we accepted many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe. And so this whole process is helping me understand what is difficult for me to believe about this power. What, and can I on my own set that aside? Where am I with this? And what does a real, I'm not a person, I am not an example of healthy relationships, right? If you get too close, I run away. If I think we're getting too well connected, I'm gonna go hide in a locked closet somewhere and not emerge until I think you've stepped back far enough. And yet at the same time be yearning for some type of connection. So to say that I'm trying to form this relationship with God, a healthy relationship with God, is kind of like starting from scratch. I don't know what a healthy relationship looks like with anybody, much less a power like this. And so it's been kind of a fun exploration of, actually, Pat mentioned this last week about asking, just asking God, what does it look like? What do you want from me? What do you need from me? What do you hope I can do today with you, for you? How can I be useful to your fellow, to my fellows? And just let it be open and new and interesting every day, and understand when I think I'm falling short, that I can just go back to this power and ask, like, is this what what is this? And what happens next? What am I supposed to do next? And just be a little more relaxed about it and let it be fun and not so heavy and so, not expect to be punished all the time for it, for not doing it right. So that was a lot of like emotional drunkalogue, I think. And sorry, I didn't get a lot to the solution, but that's kind of what where it is right now. And so thank you so much for inviting me, and hopefully you got something out of that. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Doreen.